We're calling the meeting to order. And moving ahead, we got number two, Library Service and Technology. Looks like it's right on your, should be in front of you there. So have at it.
This is the final report for our grant. Ryan compiled the lion's share of the data and was our project manager on the entire project. You can see some of the highlights in the project abstract. We did most of what we set out to do. Ryan, do you want to maybe share some highlights from the report?
Sure. Good evening. I think the abstract right on the second page there probably gives the best quick and dirty version, but if anybody takes it home and lives with it a little bit longer and has any questions or suggestions or anything, please do let us know. I do feel that it was a pretty successful project overall. We did a lot of things. Again, the kind of the highlights there, we worked really closely with Career Solutions. We did a lot of work with Electrolux and the folks that are about to lose their jobs there and provided technology support and kind of told them library resources and things that might help them. As they kind of re-enter the workforce. Some of the people have worked there for decades and haven't had to apply for a job in a really long time. So we're proud of the work we're able to do there. And through that partnership, too, now we're kind of doing a similar program with another employer in the region that's about to undergo some layoffs, too. So we kind of have a framework in place to kind of help dislocated workers and kind of keep going with next steps with that. You can see we offered computer classes for this North Star Digital Literacy Assessment. And that kind of goes hand in hand with the dislocated workers, but really it's for anybody that wants to kind of learn some basic computer skills. And upon completing these 10 modules in this assessment, you can get a certificate of completion, which is kind of a good credential that a lot of chambers of commerce in the state have bought into and say, yeah, this is good. This is a good employability skill for folks. So we did classes in English and Somali for that. And people are able to take that too throughout the region. It's on our website and everything if they want to go through that process. We did 100 and some English language learning conversation circles throughout the region, both in libraries and offsite. Those were really successful, and we'll continue those hopefully now later this year through a partnership with another agency in St. Cloud that got a grant to kind of provide library staff to do those conversations at family engagement events throughout the community. And pop-up libraries, we've always kind of done those, but we put a real effort into it this past year. Getting out into the community, doing story time with kids and talking to their parents about resources and services at the library and how they might benefit from those in their lives. And with the navigator position, we were able to do that in English for the kids in the story time, and then the navigator could speak to their parents in Somali about these and other resources and things of that nature. So again, just kind of a couple of the main things there too. Oh, and we also became certified to provide continuing education and professional development credits for daycare providers throughout the region. And that's been a pretty rewarding thing too. So, you know, there's a shortage of daycare and it's expensive in the state of Minnesota in a lot of places. And so now staff can provide continuing education credits on early literacy for daycare providers. So they're best equipped to provide that service and help develop those skills in the young ones they care for. So we've done that in St. Cloud, we've done one in Little Falls, and we're looking at a third location right now and getting that planned. And that certification was made possible through the grant and is obviously something we're going to continue trying to do into the future and everything too, as long as there's a demand, and there certainly seems to be.
Moving forward.
Yeah, we don't need any official approval, but right. We did want to make sure that the board saw this before we submitted it.
All right, Ryan, thanks for that. All right, the Bush Foundation Community Innovation Grant application.
This is a grant that was submitted to the Bush Foundation recently to extend the work of the LSTA grant that we just heard about. It would extend the position funding for the Library Cultural Navigator position for an additional 3 years if we would receive it. We realized as we were reviewing our policies that in one point in the financial policies, it says the board needs to approve all grants. Later in the procedure, it says the director can do it if designated in emergency situations or something. We're not sure what an emergency grant situation is. So in addition to going through the process of filling out the grant application, we realized we're going to need to update our grant policy and probably some of our financial policies down the road. But make sure we're in line with all of our policies. We do have the grant application here for your approval, and Brianne and Ryan both worked on it, so if you have questions, they would be the ones who would likely be best to answer.
I have a question. Did we not, was this kind of similar to the Frigidaire closed down, that there was a grant that they pursue?
Well, that was the one that we just wrapped up. Yeah. We did come to the board and ask for a budget extension in March. It was turned down, and at that point we were directed to look at other grants
to
support it.
Okay, so how long has this grant been available? Like a month, 6 months, a year?
Foundation?
I don't know. Do you know? Brianne knows the answer. It's an ongoing application process.
And again, I appreciate, you know, you getting out there, but I always, you know, maybe before coming to the board, this is something, whether any other money that's out there, look for these grants that are out there rather than have to come to the board to extend the dollar figure that we, because otherwise we'd have budgeted in our, for if we would extend to that position, correct?
Because there was no, it would have been built into the budget rather than as a grant.
This is a grant, which is...
If we get it.
Right. And then my last question, why 157.73? Why not 200,000?
Hot potato.
I wasn't part of it, but I can offer. I'm thinking that they took the position plus benefits and just multiplied it times 3 years and didn't ask for anything above the 157.
You always ask for more, and then hopefully you'll get it. But if you don't, you might end up with what you originally wanted. My opinion.
I think some grants, Mr. Chair, are just true cost grants, so you just can't ask for the moon.
Well, it says up to 200,000.
Yeah, but I think they'll look at what you're asking for and maybe justify the reasons. So.
Right.
Yeah, and this position with the LSTA grant, it was part-time, and this is looking at a full-time position.
The original application was a full-time position, and then we had trouble with recruitment and ended up bringing it into two part-time, but we still felt like a full-time, had we had more time with this grant, would have been a better fit for the position overall. I think Mike had something to
say. Chair, thank you. Well, to answer one of my questions, that includes the benefits, the whole package, not just wages. Wages, benefits, the whole package there. The other thing I want to make clear is if you say we were to get this grant, says for 3 years, that doesn't make the position automatically carry on after that 3 years.
We would have to pursue funding again. So like right now, the LSTA grant ended on September 30th. We no longer have someone who's regularly employed in that position. Should this come through, we would hopefully bring one of those people back.
Go ahead.
To that point, this also gives us the extension from the other grants. The board had mentioned that it wasn't as much time as we would have liked to see the impact and effect. So this gives us a longer span of time to see the effectiveness of this position before looking into other options.
If it goes up to 157, but I don't know what the position is going to cost, if it's 10,000 or 100,000, what happens if we get less than what that is, then is that something that you have to come back to the board and then we'd have to build it in the budget, or can we refuse it if it's not going to take care of that staff person?
I'm assuming if the grant comes through, we can fill it in the way that we did the LSTA position, where it didn't work out as a full-time position at the beginning of the grant, so we split it into two part-time. I would assume that we'd have that flexibility with this grant, but we wouldn't know those details until the grant award information comes through.
Mr. Chair, if I may, Karen, the policy on grants, does it say the board has to approve the award?
You remember, Aaron? I think it said the application.
I think it said the application.
All right.
I honestly don't recall reading that part.
Well, and the board can give us direction to do that.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I just want to know if it does state that. So,
let's see if I can pull it up.
Mary.
So, to your question, does that mean we could reject it if it does not fit our needs? Not that we would want to reject money, but...
I would assume at any point you could refuse a grant, as long as you haven't started spending it.
Right. Or we could spend if we got 80.
Is your question whether we would accept or decline it at the time of award or within that 3-year period?
Prior, perhaps. If it did not fit our needs or our expectations.
So within, it'll be within the next 6 months that they will be reviewing the grant. And once they are able to notify us at that time, we can approve or decline that award. However, if we do accept the award, it would be expected to fulfill that for the 3 years. So it would be upon the award, 80. If we did get it.
Even if we got 80, then what? 3 years?
I think that that is where, as Karen had mentioned, that we would have that flexibility. But it is 6 months out, so we will see what ends up happening at that time.
Not that I'm finding the money, but just to know.
I guess what they're asking for is that we make a motion and a second to approve that application grant.
Mr. Chair.
Mary.
I'll move approval of the application.
All right. I have an approval. I need a second.
I'll second.
And I have a second from Lisa. Any more discussion?
Mr. Chairman, I didn't see a match amount in here. There's no match?
No match.
No match. And then I got it. That's why I'm asking Karen. Mr. Chairman, why the 157? We don't know what the salaries are going to be.
Right.
So, again, we're asking good questions because, remember, we denied this earlier. Mm-hmm. So if it's no match, no, we just don't want tails. And Mike already asked the question about it's 3 years if we were awarded the grant, and then it's over with no expectation. So I hope the minutes reflect that this is, if we get the grant, we got the 3-year position, but we had no flavor for adding this on the last time we talked about it. To get the grant, great, but no match. And then the salary, not that we come in the second year, third year, and say, well, now they're part of the union, we have to do this and that, and all of a sudden it ends up being $175,000. So as long as it's $157,000, just so we know that's what it's going to be.
And I think, Jeff, you got a good point there, is that it's going to be $157,000, whatever the change.
That'll be the grant
we know
award.
If it gets awarded that. But to Jeff's point is, if there's a raise in it, and we're basing this on, what does it come out to, 60,000 or 50,000 and change per year, if that person becomes part of the union, I don't know if that's
shouldn't
happen. But if there's raises during that time, and if it goes over the 157 to keep this person here for 3 years, then I'm assuming we would have to.
There may be some liability depending on how it plays out, but our intent would be if we're awarded 157, we'd spend 157, however that works out, because with a 3-year cross projection, you know, there's going to be an assumption that wages and benefits will increase. At the same time, you don't know what you're hiring that person at to begin with. Mm-hmm. And it could impact the number of hours that they worked in addition to the number of dollars that they're paid per hour. So until you actually get the grant award and have someone hired, you won't have that level of detail to know what the end looks like. It's just no way to know that. Similar to what we did with this last grant, we assumed we would have someone hired within the first month. We ended up underspending the grant because it took us a while to actually get someone in the door. But that didn't mean that that person got to work another month. It meant we had one less month that this person was working because of the stipulations around that particular grant. We don't have that level of detail with this grant yet because we haven't been awarded the grant.
So, Mr. Chairman, Karen, the activities have ceased September 30th. The two employees are no longer...
They're as substitutes, so we could call them in and use, like, program pool funds to have them do a one-off program if we wanted them to. But they are not regular employees.
Any more discussion?
Chair.
Mary.
Yes. So, substitute means they're not paid.
They're only paid if they work.
Show up.
Right.
Second question. What does bilingual mean?
That they can speak multiple languages.
Two languages.
Not bi, not two.
Two languages, English and Somali.
Right.
Only.
It could be more, but we're applying for someone who speaks. Right, right. If someone's trilingual, it wouldn't limit them as a candidate for consideration for the position.
I see.
It would be
how
like
the recipients. That's my question. So is it, are these people, assuming we achieve the grant, number one, number two, we find someone, how many languages?
Our goal is two, English and Somali. If we get three or four, that's bonus. That would not be something we'd hire for.
I'm assuming, Karen, the grant, the applicant would have a requirement of speaking English and Somalian.
Correct.
If they speak Chinese, Japanese, that's
French.
Just a gift. French, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but would the services be available to?
Oh, I see.
Oh, individuals. If they had that skill set, we would try to leverage it if we could. Yes.
Who would?
The library. The
applicants.
If the applicant speaks more than two languages and we hire them.
Yeah.
So trilingual, say they are trilingual and we advertised for bilingual, we would still shoot for, you know, targeting the Somali population. But if they also speak French and we have people who speak French as their primary language, just as an example, we would look at leveraging that skill set if we could. It's just a matter of whether or not we have people who need that particular skill.
And that's my question, I guess, is do we have other populations that perhaps need
assistance? We do have other groups who speak other languages in the Great River region.
And
yes.
They are?
Spanish is one of the top. Hmong, I believe, is in the top four. And Russian. That being said, here in St. Cloud, there is our project partners are working to build the skill sets for the workforce, and that would be primarily the Somali population here in St. Cloud. In other communities that we don't have project partners with targeted efforts in the way that we are in St. Cloud right now, and the numbers of the community in St. Cloud are actually larger than some of the communities we serve. So, for example, Long Prairie, there's a huge Spanish-speaking population in Long Prairie. There are more people in the Somali population in St. Cloud than live in all of Long Prairie. So when you're thinking about numbers of people that we serve, there's definitely a justification for reaching out to this particular community at this time. We've got partners and we've got the numbers to support it. That's not to say we wouldn't try to target people in Long Prairie who speak Spanish. We already have staff members who have that skill set, and we already have partnerships in those communities that are reaching those people, and we would look to expand those as well within our existing budget. This is a position we don't have a budget for, and so that's why we would be asking for a grant to support it.
Any more discussion? I have a motion and a second. Any more discussion? Those in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good discussion.
All right.
Number four.
This is the meat of the agenda.
Yeah.
And I did ask all of the leadership team to be here tonight because everyone's been involved in developing this document. And I want to make sure you hear kind of from the subject matter experts on particular topics. We did put this on the agenda as an action item only because we needed approval on the grant and later on in the agenda, another item. So we felt like if the board did want the opportunity to approve it tonight, the opportunity is there. The executive summary is on page 15 of the packet. It also has a number 5 on the right-hand corner. That's number 5 of the document. So you can see the document itself is broken into facility improvements, open hours, alternative services, express checkouts, and policy recommendations. This is a document that was approved with the title Library Assessment Plan back in 2016, and in the policy it says we'll update these recommendations every 3 years. So that's why we're bringing it forward to you tonight. Earlier this year, the board approved us looking at different metrics and keeping the board informed as the leadership team moved through those analyses and bringing forward this document for the consideration at this meeting. So that's why we're looking at it in October. In terms of facility improvements, Cold Spring, Eagle Bend, Howard Lake, Kimball, and Wake Park continue to stand out. So I'm going to ask Brandy to talk about Howard Lake, Cold Spring, and Kimball, and then Ryan can address Eagle Bend, Wake Park, and then there's a slight update to, or additional information about Big Lake that I would want you to know as we dig through this document.
Mr. Chairman, before we do that, I just want to understand this. So the facility assessments assesses all the libraries, and then from that assessment is where the executive study and the priorities have been evolved to.
Facilities assessments were one piece, yeah. But the executive summary is basically the high points from each of those sections. So facility improvements are about specific facilities.
So you took the facility assessments of each library and then evolved it into what the priorities are.
In addition to statistics and surveys and stuff like that.
Thank you.
Yep. All right.
Okay. Hi.
Any other questions, comments?
Okay. So with Cold Spring, we have been working with the city of Cold Spring and the Friends of the Library there, as it says here, since at least 2005. It's been a really long project to try to get a new, a larger facility there. And the talk has gone through a number of iterations. Where we are right now, the city is working on a project that they have purchased or have an agreement to purchase some land for a new fire hall. And then the plan is that once the fire hall is out of the current location, which houses fire hall, police, city, and library, so there's 4 tenants in the building, to move the fire hall out and then renovate and split with the remaining 3 tenants. So then the library would have a larger space and renovated space in that. The city has not yet moved to the point of actually making a detailed plan of what that 3-tenant facility would look like yet. They're focusing on getting the fire hall out. So it does appear that there is some movement, just not sure what any timeline would be. I do indicate in here, though, that even if that plan does address some of the space needs, parking will still be an issue because there are no plans to expand any parking. In fact, we may lose some of our parking spaces with the renovation. Any questions on Cold Spring? Yeah.
Okay, the fire department moves out because this library is 1,700 square feet, which is small.
Mm-hmm.
So what square foot size is the fire hall that they're splitting up?
The fire hall's fairly large, but again, we don't have a firm number on what the library would end up being. I think it was around 4,500 square feet is what we were initially, 45 to 5,500 square feet, somewhere in there that we were talking about, but they haven't gotten down to those specifics because it in part depends on what happens with the police. There's still some discussion with the police station in there because the latest plans didn't look like they showed enough room for the police in terms of what they needed with the Sallyport and some other kinds of things for the vehicles and just for what they need. And so I think there's a certain degree of question on that. So I don't have the specifics about what it would look like library.
So in that particular building for that circulation, what would be, in your opinion, would be an accurate, more of an accurate size for that library to function?
I'm going to have to get back to you on that one. I do not remember off the top of my head. I'm sorry. I have done the space needs analysis, and I should have brought it with me, and I'm embarrassed that I didn't, but I don't have that
I
with me.
I caught the one question you didn't couldn't answer.
You did. You absolutely caught me out.
In the case of this here, maybe Karen can address mm-hmm. this, or Brandy. They've been, obviously, we've been requesting on this one since for 15 years, roughly, correct?
Yeah.
Do we have an ordinance or a policy or anything? What puts a fire underneath these cities to get them to do something, or they just... You know, we just kind of keep on.
That's kind of the point of tonight's discussion to some degree. Several of these were, well, all of these, but one, I think, were on the last three-year assessment plan. Yep. So we would be looking from the board for direction on how and what to communicate to the city.
Dan.
Now, Mr. Chair, Brandy, do you know what phase or process they're in right now for the new fire hall?
As far as I know, they have secured an agreement to purchase the land. Last I checked for records, I'm not sure if that has actually been signed down, that the council has approved the purchase, but I don't know where they are in the actual process of having done that.
Because a lot of times, I mean, this is a long ways out if they don't even have land yet. Mm-hmm. Because if it goes to a referendum vote, you know, which happens a lot of times in cities, it could be another year and a half before that even gets started.
Yes, I'm aware. Okay. I know. It's been a really long, slow process. There's been multiple stops and starts along the way with Cold Spring.
I guess what I'm saying is that it's really not anything we can count on at this point.
In my discussions with the city administrator and when I've been there for the meetings, it seems like there is a will be in the city council to make it happen. Mm-hmm. They have a whole lot of other priorities and or a lot of other things on their plate too, so I don't know, but it does seem like, I think I shared with the board earlier this year or late last year that I was feeling really optimistic with Cold Spring because I was seeing more vocalized, formalized, on the record support by council members and the mayor than I'd ever seen before. And I retain that optimism because of that there still are people on the city council who are saying, yep, we support this, we are gonna make this happen. And that is new. I was not seeing that a decade ago.
So then the action that needed to be done, or if it has happened, is the board authorizes whoever their representative is to enter into a purchase agreement with the land. Because that board action has to be taken to authorize them to enter into these things.
Wait, which board?
The Cold Spring.
The city council has to
authorize somebody to represent them to purchase this.
And they have done that.
If they've done that, then they are committed to doing something. Because you're on a city council and you make plans to go forward with that, and you don't do that, your constituents are going to be really mad at you.
Right, and that's why I'm saying yes. Okay. That I feel optimistic in that way. But I can't see the future.
All right, I think we beat that one up. So
okay. Let's move on to the next one. All right, so next one is Howard Lake. With Howard Lake, we've been talking to them for quite a while as well. We have similar issues in terms of the library is undersized. It doesn't meet basic needs of collection technology, staff, work areas, and all those kinds of things. And we've been working with the city on that. We've also had multiple issues of water intrusion in Howard Lake. The most recent one, of course, created the extended closure that we had this spring. We just received an email from Nick yesterday, Karen and I did, that they're still looking at it, still not seeing any signs of further water intrusion after all the rain that we've had this season. Good news. We're really happy with that. And so Nick asked about, and there's some other things that are going on there that have kind of postponed their progress to replace the roof and some other things like that, but it's still on the agenda. Nick asked if we had any information about any kinds of grants or things like that that might help them make it part of a larger process that would include an elevator or things like that to meet some of the other space needs and accessibility needs that we have. And so Karen got back to him about what she knows about grants, like the bonding grant that may be coming up and things like that. So again, cautiously optimistic that the work that has been done and is planned will take care of that. However, Karen and I spoke yesterday, and I feel like I need to stay just cautiously optimistic because we have had, as mentioned here, in the past, they've done significant structural work to try to alleviate those water intrusion issues, and it's lasted for a few years, and then we've had water again.
I'll answer that question for you. The first time out, they hired Scooter and Gunther from Litchfield, a couple of town drunks. And it didn't work very long. This time around, they hired Rice companies to come in and fix it. So they spent a heck of a lot more money, and it got engineered and everything else. So I'm optimistic that not only Rice companies has a good reputation, but they've fixed whatever the problem was there, and it's not going to be a two-year solution. It's going to actually work this time out.
I sure hope so. But the water intrusion issues still do not take care of, I mean, that's big,
oh, no, that's just one.
But that still doesn't take care of all the space issues and the lack of accessibility up to the programming space. There's just a stairway, there's not an elevator, and the programming space is on the upper floor above the library. So still issues even if the water intrusion is taken care of. Any questions about Howard Lake?
I had a few. I know a lot of people out there. I've already told them that if you really want a library, you better A, start supporting it, and B, have your city council step up and do something. Because, you know, if you want to do nothing, your library is going to go away because you got to do something with this. Because I've been in there enough times going, oh, my Lord, no wonder nobody wants to come in here.
Yeah, it's tiny. It's well cared for by staff. Patrons are very loyal, of course, but yeah, it's tiny and it's got some issues. Which leads us to Kimball. Tiny, has issues, really loyal patrons, and hopefully next year we will have a new library. Mary, did...
Mr. Chair.
Mary.
I've seen smoke detector things. It's not related to space or anything. You know, we can buy smoke detectors for 20, 30 bucks, 40 bucks, whatever they are, maybe more. I might be naive, but Howard Lake was one of them, and there were several others. And even though city and the fire marshal said they're fine, we should do that. Safety and security.
I'm going to let Karen take that one.
We can take it under advisement, but I don't know that the smoke detectors that they're talking about are the ones that you buy in the store for $20.
Right. Perhaps not.
They want them hardwired, yeah, so they automatically notify the fire department.
I said I'm perhaps naive, but...
And fire suppression would be good, too.
Right.
Either way. It's important, I think, to do that.
Mr. Chair, but Karen, we should probably add that to the security
safety
checklist.
Safety and security, yeah.
I think it's part of the MCIT
okay.
safety audit.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's where it was originally coming up, was from the safety audits themselves.
So it will come up? Yes? No?
We can discuss it at the security meeting. Sure.
Let's do.
Okay, and with Kimball, they had city raised an amazing amount of money. They're awesome. It's a little city that could. We got the grant, but then the bids came in significantly over what we had expected, and the advice to the committee was that part of the reason that the bids were so high was because of the time of the year that the bids were going in, towards the end of the season, and that perhaps some of the construction companies were essentially putting in bids for what would it be worth for me to stop doing what I'm doing now and do your project. And also that because of the process in submitting for bids, maybe wasn't long enough to get as many people to submit bids as we had wanted. So because of that, they decided to postpone it and are planning to work on that again at the start of the new year with an eye towards getting bids approved by the city in March or April, and hopefully being able to break ground in May. as well as the fundraising committee is working on raising some additional funds if they can. And so it's still moving forward. It's just hit a little bit of a bump, but they have the grant. There is money to spend. There were some unanticipated expenses in that with B3 guidelines and things like that that they didn't know about until they had received the grant, and that to increase the cost. But they're still working on it, very optimistic. It's still the little city that could, and they will get it done, I am very sure.
They probably ran into a statute issue, and you have bids that came in a percentage over what your estimate is. You cannot reject them because you get those grants. It's like 30%, anything 30% over, you have to reject them and start over. If they rebid this project and have a little more flexibility in it, they're probably going to get more bidders and better numbers. Because usually when I see the numbers come in high, it's too rigid. It's wrong timing for one thing, but too much rigidity in the timing of putting it together causes contractors to say, forget it.
Yeah, and that's pretty much what they'd heard back. So that's why they're going to just try it again. So okay. Any other questions about Kimball?
I don't think they're going to be a problem. I think just a couple snags, but they're going to keep going just fine.
Yep. All right. Ryan?
Eagle Bend's doing pretty well. The people of Eagle Bend love their library. I think that's safe to say. And the situation's a little different because it isn't a library we need. It's a museum. The current space is shared by both the library and the museum. And we're going to hope that the progress continues on getting the museum to move out onto an adjacent lot in the current space. And when that happens, the library itself will be pretty good to go as far as space goes. And they have the footings down in Eagle Bend, and they are doing a community-wide fundraiser. They're looking to get $170,000. And like I said, there seems to be a lot of real support in the community. The local newspaper's been promoting it, and there's an event planned for later this year to continue the progress in raising the money.
You have to commend the Eagle Bend because that's a small town.
Yeah, it is. And they are big-time library supporters and users. Yep, agreed.
If you look at their usage numbers, though, they really love their library.
Well, that's good to hear.
And if you're ever looking for a good time, book bingo in Eagle Bend. Pack the people in there. Yeah, elbow to elbow.
Give us the date and time.
I will, yeah, for sure. Yeah. Any questions about Eagle Bend? I mean, we're on the right track. It's just slow moving. They're raising the money and doing what they can.
Yeah, they've already purchased a lot, so they've made the big commitment already.
Yep, they're on their way. And I'd say Waite Park's on their way, too. We've been working with the city, presented to the council. The entire city of Waite Park is doing a facility needs assessment on all their public buildings, and they're including the library in that to see what kind of space that they need. And we've done the space needs analysis and presented it to them. And for a community that serves the population Waite Park serves, they need about double the current space at a minimum. And so we presented that information to them. They've taken that into consideration. And then on the 1st of this month, we received word from the city that their council has approved going forward with the larger facility assessment overview for all their city buildings. So I guess we're just kind of wait and see right now for that. They said that's a slow process. But again, we're included and it's moving forward.
Well, that's a lot of circulation for that little square footage you got there.
So we're going to be asking for a motion and an action. I know we're going to have more discussion. I'll ask for a motion a second, and then we'll get into some discussion.
So move, Mr. Chair.
I have a motion. I need a second to approve the library develop. Just because you second doesn't mean you approve it. It just means that we can have more discussion.
Second.
All right. Any more discussion?
I have a question.
Go ahead, Mary.
This is indeed a draft, right?
Well, if it's approved tonight, it would no longer be a draft. So our intent was to go through some of the recommendations so that the board has the information it needs to move forward.
Your chair.
Dean.
I would like to say that Elk River would like to see more hours still. They'd like those Sunday hours coming, which they're always wanting more hours on Elk River. A lot of people have approached me on it still. So
would we want to talk about the open hours recommendations, perhaps? Rachel can talk a little bit more about St. Michael and Pierce.
How about let's just get some comments or questions, and we can put it all together.
Chair, Lisa. I understood that there was going to be some conversation about the Big Lake facility when you started this piece.
Just a comment on Big Lake. It's noted on their page in the assessment, too. They have a pipe underneath the parking lot that freezes in the winter and causes the water to back up in the library, and we've had to have a couple of emergency closures. And We still haven't heard if anything's going to be done about it. Two winters ago, we were advised to run the water, and then there was a contradictory statement to not run the water, and we didn't, and it sure enough backed up. So I guess we're waiting on some direction from the city. Should we leave the water running to keep the pipe from freezing, or is a long-term solution in the works? We don't know. And again, the big pressing issue here is it's led to emergency closures and backed up water that is quite foul.
That's a good point that Lisa brought up. Why wouldn't that be part of their gotta water issue too? Why wouldn't that be ongoing in this draft?
But it's worth highlighting because, again, it does result in closed hours. And
we,
so
we can add like it to the list. Yeah. We just hadn't because it's a fairly recent issue that we thought maybe resolved this summer, and we haven't heard.
Right.
We
no,
know they didn't tear up the parking lot.
Right,
we
yes.
know that.
February, right? The Rachel Almanac is predicting February.
Old enough.
Yes, yeah. It's been 2 years.
2 years.
Oh, right.
Well, again, I suggest
we were under the understanding they were going to work on it this summer. What we don't know is what work was done. If it was done, it wasn't apparent to library staff, and it wasn't communicated to library staff. So we can certainly add them to the list.
I'd highly recommend that we add them to the list.
Okay.
And then if they said, yeah, it was completely repaired, let's see how winter goes.
So Lisa, go after Rayanne. What did you do over there, young lady?
There you go.
Well, that's an interesting comment because I'm very conscientious about, I really, as a commissioner, there's some boundary issues between city council and county commissioners. I can't tell them what to do so much. I'm not comfortable with that. I can give them my opinion. I can ask them questions, things like that, but I don't have jurisdiction over that, obviously. As a library board of trustee member, I think that Mary, Jane, and I need to, you know, maybe strategize how we can talk to Big Lake a bit.
I have zero influence.
That's not true, Mary. We'll talk.
Yeah.
You stand tall and carry a big stick. But
a big mouth,
I think
maybe.
That would be some of my questions with all this, like with these communities that we've discussed. When does a board member? The last time was 2016.
Right.
So
other than St. Cloud signing the lease.
Everybody's got the new branch agreements.
Right, yeah.
Last time, also, all of the libraries that were in this facility improvement list received a letter.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember who signed it. Maybe
Dave?
The letter that went to the cities on behalf of the Great River Board saying, we've looked at this. This is a concern.
That was around the same time.
Yep. So that could be a next step where we send a letter to these cities reminding them that we are recognizing that there's issues, that they've been maybe working in a specific direction and encouraging them to resolve them.
Mr. Chair, but Lisa has a good point that as board members of this organization, we should be respective of other boundaries and I think approach them respectfully as a representative or representatives to discuss the issues with them rather than saying we expect this to be done. So I think it's a good point by Lisa to say it's just good politics. So
right.
I just think that's a good way to handle it. And it would be the same way if it was in my jurisdiction. If there's something going wrong, I should go talk to the libraries and say this is what we are concerned about as a board of trustees and see if we can work something out.
Usually, you know, Foley solicited me. I didn't volunteer anything.
Well, see, Lisa's got one card that she can play. Commissioner Danielowski was the former mayor of Big Lake prior to being a commissioner, so she should have firsthand knowledge of what's going on there or have enough influence
politics.
To help with this.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not about the library.
Mr. Chair?
Really?
Dan?
I think that, you know, what Lisa brought up is an excellent thing, and I actually think this should be a strategy of this board going forward. It would be good for us to be present at these meetings in our district because this is how things move. This is how things get done. When I first got on the township board 18 years ago, I was challenged by farmers in the community, a couple of them, to spend a lot of time in Buffalo, because if we're not over there, they don't know we exist. You can send letters, and it's it gets put in the pile with everything else. When you show up at the meeting, that's when things get done. If it doesn't happen this month, then they go to the next month's meeting. And I'd be willing to do that in my district. That's not a problem.
So you're saying stating as a, not as a county commissioner, but as a, board member for Great River Regional Library. Yeah. That'd be a great idea, in my opinion.
Separate all the two.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So because we have commissioners here, can't go as being a commissioner, you're going there as a board member on the Great River.
Exactly.
Mr. Chairman, we don't all have to go to Buffalo, do we?
No. Okay.
I just want to make clear that.
Thank you, Jeff.
We're going to send you to Zimmerman.
Okay. Probably have the same impact there as I would anyplace else. Mr. Chairman, what I don't understand is the city's, when I was on the city council, we were as concerned about the library building as we were about the city hall because it's our building. Mm-hmm. It's the city's building. So if water's backing up, water's leaking, I guess I'm missing something. Why is that?
Why is it a concern that the water's...
No. Why isn't the city... It's like I'm the homeowner and you're renting it from me. Well, I don't care that you're renting it from me as much as I do. It's my home.
Jeff, so, maybe we need you on Big Lake City Council.
After I get to Zimmerman, when I'm done with Zimmerman, then I'll get...
Well, I think it's a good approach from our representatives to find out if they have a solution. That's what you're looking for.
Yeah. I think that you're spot on, but I don't know that every...
Actually, Dan brought up, again, staff does a great job when they go there, too, but now you have a board member at these meetings. Again, there's time and all that, but that, I think, is a good idea.
And like I would say... In our district, you know, they know me. They do.
And I would say, Mr. Chairman, run the water. If you didn't run the water and it backed up and you ran the water and didn't back up, let's split hairs. Run the water until this thing gets figured out in Big Lake is my 2 cents.
I think the nuances with the with the Big Lake situation in particular is they're in a shared facility with the police department, and a lot of times the police department are the ones calling the shots on some of these decisions, and it's very difficult for staff to do something counter to what the police, who are in name facility manager, is ordering them to do. it's complicated.
Number one, we are in many shared facilities, and I wonder who trumps who or whatever. And secondly, we are here as trustees of the library, not county commissioners and all that hoo-ha. I mean, no disrespect, but that's our job here as trustees of this facility. So
that's what I understand we're saying.
We should get there.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
We should act like that.
We're here to support the library staff and the library decisions.
Yes, sir.
And bringing up with Howard Lee again, you do have a 2-story building. There's somebody on top, so that would be a reason why. Is it happening if the water freezes? Does everybody's backs up, or is it just the libraries? Or
We don't know.
Right.
We don't find out.
And our vested interest, obviously, is our books and the supplies and what we have there. So the city has their interest in the building itself. We have interest in our computers, books.
Yep.
So it should be, I mean, I would at least start trying to meet with a staff person and go beyond the city administrator or with the city administrator and potentially a counselor. There's always, every council has a board representative, you know, library board representative normally on. So just meet with them and say, okay, it's your building, it's our stuff. What can we do?
I think we all agree we can move on.
Good point.
I didn't hear that.
He says it's time to move on.
Yeah.
I said, I think we all agree, so let's move on.
Yeah.
All right, then. Just a question. In the interest of time, we're prepared to talk about all of the topics laid out here. The open hours recommendations, which I'm assuming you want more detail on. Alternative services recommendations, and maybe a bit about policy recommendations. Given the time in relation to what we said this meeting would be, what is the wish of the board?
We got the financial entity resolution. We got a...
Yep.
We're going to need a motion. Can we table this?
Do we have a motion on the floor?
I know that, but I'm going to discussing what our things is. Do we want to take some of this off the table, or and we discuss more about this, or do you guys want to stay here for another length of time tonight and discuss a little bit more about the draft?
Mr. Chairman, I assume staff took in hours of operation and everything when you did all this.
Yes.
So do we want to rework that, or you've addressed that?
Do we need the open hours recommendation would have budgetary tails. So for that particular topic, we may be looking for more information.
And we do this how often?
Once every 3 years.
Every 3 years.
I think we could have a little bit more discussion about this. It's all important, but could we table some of this till next meeting on the agenda, such as the library development policy review?
The policy review, we can certainly table. The action item, I would imagine, wouldn't take very long, but I didn't anticipate the first two topics.
Right, because I'm not going to ask for all in favor unless, I mean, because we have more discussion, especially on the open hours, because there's a dollar figure going to be there, see? So.
And we would need information on that particular topic to shape what the November meeting looks like.
So if we don't give you enough information and it gets tabled, what happens?
Mr. Chair, even though you're talking finances, when we talk about extra hours, we do have a pretty plush reserve. And if we wanted to discuss extending hours in certain libraries, that doesn't mean we would have to do a modification of our budget. We just could do a reserve implant there.
Wherever.
Am I correct?
That's correct.
However, Mary, what do you got?
However, it has ongoing implications. Not just next year or the year after.
I totally agree
with
Mary.
I agree with that. And I think, Mr. Chairman, if we do something like that, we should have a deeper discussion overall. I'm not comfortable dipping in the cushions for adding 5 hours or 2 hours without knowing more of do we really need to, or do you open later, stay open longer, variations of the hours or something. And I don't know that we're going to be prepared tonight. Again, staff looked at this. I don't know that I want to re-evaluate that. I mean, they've looked at it. And my comment to that is, Mr. Chair, I think what we would do is we would approve the overall plan, but the discussion of hours has came up several times during board meetings, regular board meetings, and I think we could have that discussion with specific libraries during regular board meetings and talk about the financial implications. And we also could approve this plan tonight. That doesn't mean we can't discuss it at further board meetings.
If it's approved tonight, does that mean the extended hours and everything is going to be approved too of the plan?
If this is our recommendation, and it would be a future budget request.
Right. So that'd be for 3 years then, right? This is a 3 year.
The plan
go through
the that budget request would come to the board separately.
Well, I got it out there. What do you guys want to? What's the board want to do?
Call the question.
Yeah.
You got a motion and a second.
Well, we have a motion and a second to approve the library plan draft. I have a motion and a second. Those in favor, state aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. We have one name.
Based on further discussion? Or is that a given?
We had a discussion already. That's what it was for. Because I asked for more discussion.
Yeah, but that's not in the motion.
It wasn't part of the motion, no. Because who made the motion? Ed?
I seconded Mike.
Michael and Ed. So that was, you had your chance, Mary, to make the discussion, unfortunately, because I asked. There's more discussion.
I did discuss.
All right.
It's all Ed's fault, remember that.
I failed.
All right. Motion carried. Okay. Library development policy review.
The policy is in here for your information. Our recommendations within the plan would be to revise the sections on alternative services to reflect what has changed in the plan, and then possibly update the staffing section to actually reflect some of the changes we've made in the last several years. We would also recommend and need some advice
from the board if we change the policy on local book return and mail a book. Currently, it says we don't do mail a book. Mail a book is something we think we could do if we had an outside funding source, and so we would want to change that policy. The local book return, our plan recommends that we add this as a future service, as a pilot somewhere, but we would need to update the way the policy reads in order to do that.
So but this isn't an action item.
This isn't an action item. If there are other things you think we should change in the policy, we would be bringing this forward to the board in November.
So this is something that the board could contact you?
Yep.
And make a discussion?
Yep.
Okay. Any questions or comments on this? All right, moving forward. Ameriprise Financial Entity Resolution, Elk River Plan Gift.
This is one more step. Aaron probably can speak about it better than I can.
Well, I actually kind of stumbled upon this. The way it happened was a quick story. I received a letter from Ameriprise stating that they were withholding our statements because they sent us a piece of mail and got something back as undeliverable. So I don't understand how it happened, but I immediately contacted them and I'm like, what's this about? You know, how can I correct this? And throughout that conversation, they're like, well, we need the authorized signer on the account to change the address. Somehow they got an Elk River address. I get it, it's an Elk River fund, but I don't know how they ended up with this address because they said the letter came directly to me right here at 1300 West St. Germain. So they basically told me I needed a signer on the account, and I thought we already took care of that back in, I don't remember what month it was, not that long ago, but I thought we already handled it. But they had advised me that I had to go all the way and talk to somebody local. So I went up to the local Ameriprise, and the lady there was semi-helpful, and also she got another Ameriprise person on the phone. And what I found out was that when we originally had these annuities, that was at what they called an account level. And so therefore, when we did the signer, Randy signed for the secretary spot, the board approved everything. We thought we were good. But when they take all of the annuities and they move them into a new entity or a new account for Great River Regional Library for disbursements, apparently that requires a corporate level new signer on the account. I don't quite 100% understand it, but... apparently that's what they need, and they won't give any information out without this corporate entity form being filled out, and they won't allow any changes, any fixing of addresses, nothing like that.
You want that on our end?
On our end, they won't allow us to do anything without a, quote, signer, which, once again, I thought we took care of, but apparently it's at a different level, or they didn't correctly process paperwork. I don't really know.
Say, different level. Who would sign it other than, you know, Karen or myself at
no,
this time?
No, it's on the other side. Their then level. Their organization. Okay. They need a corporate entity and the account. We okay. have the account, but not the corporate entity.
Yeah, it started out as an account level. I'm really confused by it, I'll be honest with you. I'll say that out here in the open.
Send us the check. But they won't let us see the statement.
Yeah, they won't send them to us until we get the address fixed.
And because they're not doing their job.
Something. Yes, I would go along with that.
Okay, that makes sense.
They don't, Mr. Chairman, they're not running the Howard Lake Big Lake Library.
We won't let them if they are, that's for sure.
I just wanted to make sure there's not a duplicate here.
So your request is what going to be that we...
Is designation of me and Karen as signers on the
it's
corporate level.
It's basically adding us to that account now, too.
Can yes, to the Great River Regional account.
I would hope so. Okay.
Right. If that doesn't work, we'll use the mayor's wife.
We'll so just
have all right, I got a motion. I need a second. I got a motion, a second. Any more discussion?
Right. It kind of makes sense to me because this talks about management of funds.
Yes.
So you would have the ability to... $50,000 and go to Bermuda or somewhere.
Bahamas, maybe. Kidding.
New Harley. Yeah.
New Harley. There you go. I don't think it's at quite that level. Well, I mean, I believe it's for like reinvestment of funds or things like that. We can, Karen and I and Randy could make changes to how the money's invested.
It's only you and Karen.
Yes.
As I understand it, not the chair.
He's the secretary on that form. Yes, you're right. Karen and I
define secretary, and in the way the bylaws define chair, that is the appropriate position for us to have as a signer.
Yes.
Not the treasurer or
no.
Whatever. It's kind of strange.
It's because it's a contract. It's not an account.
All right, any more discussion? I have a motion and a second. Those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to make a comment.
Go right ahead.
If I may, I just want to thank the staff for all being here tonight and the time that you put into this report. And I really wish that we would have had more time on it. So I'm just, thank you.
I'm going to make a comment. Now you don't have to put this on the record. But I'm sitting across and I'm looking at this young lady across here and I'm going, that's Jamie. And I'm going,
that's Jamie.
What is she doing? And so Karen tells me, you're running marathons.
They're giggling.
Wow. Motion a second. All in favor.
Hi.
Motion.
Was that for Jamie the motion?
Jamie the motion.
That was really off the record, wasn't it?
Did we vote on that?
All in favor.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carried.